Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm Max.
And this week, we've watched Tribune. And now we're going to argue about whether it will make us quit Star Trek.
I think what I enjoyed about this was seeing the absolute antithesis of the greatest legal mind of every generation, Samuel T. Coghlan. If he was there, it would have been shut down. He would have left the courtroom, destroyed the injustices of the Cardassian system, if he were there. So I enjoyed fantasizing.
Instead, we've got Conservator Korvac, who is professionally
a bitch.
Useless.
Well, he's useless to the defendant, less so to the court.
So he's failing to, well, I guess you can't say he's failing to fulfill a purpose if the purpose doesn't exist in their system.
Yeah. Bear in mind that the person who said he was the best legal mind in Cardassia was the judge slash prosecutor, so.
Not judging, not dodgy at all.
God, I mean, it's not a crazy episode, but it's certainly a DS9 writers shouldn't be a left alone episode.
I mean, O'Brien, just let him go on holiday. At least let him reach the destination before you ruin his life.
I think one of the things about early season DS9 is O'Brien deserves better than he gets.
Of course.
Pretty consistently, yeah. Even if he wasn't O'Brien, he would deserve better than he gets.
Even Worf would deserve better.
But I mean, he does get to go on holiday later on.
Yeah, and be a little sexy.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, he still fucking sucks. Ugh.
He sure does.
It's
That's not the episode we're talking about, though.
No, we're talking about this one. And did you do DS9 your first time, Max? Did you start with DS9 like a good, sensible person?
Well, It's a bit convoluted, actually. DS9 is the first one I've watched, or I'm actually currently watching, beginning to end.
Oh.
And I think it's... Because I... the first time I got into Star Trek, I don't remember how old I was. Probably like 12, 13, something like that.
Is it because of the trauma? You blocked it out.
Actually, the very first time I remember seeing anything Star Trek related firsthand is a very strange, very diffuse memory I have. I would have been maybe like 6 or 7 that time. This would have been while Enterprise was still on the air.
Oh dear.
And I remember seeing some kind of making of documentary about Enterprise. I think this may have been in preparation for some channel here in Sweden was going to show Enterprise, and they began by showing some kind of like intro thing. But the thing I distinctly remember is this thing was dubbed. And that's very strange because nothing that is for an audience of maybe about 15 years of age is ever dubbed into Swedish. I don't know what was up with that.
Did you have to experience Swedish Burman? hate to hear it. Hate to think about it.
Yeah, but yeah. So the first time I actually watched Star Trek was a few years after that. After I had been on an extended binge of just reading Memory Alpha. This tends to be how I get into new science fiction things, weirdly enough. And unfortunately for me and history, the two series I decided sounded most interesting to me, just purely based on the premise, were Voyager and Enterprise.
Oh, no.
So, as you can understand, no. I wasn't into Star Trek for very long that time.
Of course. I'm so sorry. Particularly, I'm placing most of the blame on Voyager, because I still have a soft spot for Enterprise.
But, yeah, I mean, I think Enterprise has a very interesting aesthetic. I just think it's very poorly written.
Yeah.
But yeah, Voyager is... Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best, that's the best word for it.
Yeah, I think it's a single grunt conveys more emotion than any individual adjective.
Mm.
Yeah, so my current time being interested in Star Trek is I've been sort of hanging out around people who are into Star Trek for basically as long as I can remember. But I only got back into watching it very recently because of friend of the show, Margot, who managed to convince me to start watching DS9. And so a few months ago, I saw the episode that we're talking about today and was very annoyed by it. And yeah, DS9 as a whole has been better than this.
It can do better, and it has. Yeah. This was an embarrassment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess this is season two, so I guess they were kind of still finding their feet.
Yeah, it's not been the worst of the embarrassments DS9 has given us. It was just a bit flat.
Yeah.
Especially the ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very, the ending is very, oh God, we've got to do it. We can't keep this going for more than one episode.
Shit, it's minute 40. Right. Okay, yeah. What are we doing?
it's kind of Gilbert and Sullivan that way.
Oh my God, don't. Yeah. No, I'm not going to say.
Did I strike a nerve?
I'm not editing out whatever that sound was.
It was me attempting to start singing. He is an Englishman, but I decided not to.
I mean, that would be a grave insult to the memory of Miles Edward O'Brien.
I could sing He Is a Star.
And Colomini, although he is still alive, so.
Colomini. Well, Miles O'Brien is also still. He's yet to be born.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I have, however, been, for a very long time, a big fan of Babylon 5, which kind of contributed to my reticence to get into DS9, given.
Oh, the feud.
The sort of conflicting origins of those two shows.
I have watched some of the first season of Babylon 5. I can see the aesthetic, like the aesthetic of the station. It has that circular thing.
It gets better and then it gets abruptly worse.
But if the dispute was over the contents of the show, I'm not really seeing much because it hasn't offered me much yet. I'm sorry, Babylon 5.
Well, without spoiling too much, I think you will see parallels in season 2 and 3.
Gosh, if I get
soon.
But yeah, Babylon 5 is also not what we're talking about this episode. So
no!
Do we want to start?
Should we kick off? Olivia, do you want to take us in?
O'Brien is about to go on vacation. It's going to be a happy times episode. We're all ecstatic until...
The only conflict that really set up before the cold open is whether or not Keiko is going to convince him to throw out his technical manuals, which he brought on holiday.
And more importantly, whether we're going to have to watch them fuck in a runabout. Because she's like, do the seats go down? And Marv is like, I'm going to make it.
Yeah, the manuals talk kind of turns her on. But we missed the point where we see the dodgy friend. What is his name? Is his name Rutledge? Because that's what I've written here.
No, his name is Boone.
No, the ship they were on is the Rutledge.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking that was wrong.
And Boone is now, at least it's heavily implied that he is now in the Marquis.
Yeah.
Because he lives in the demilitarized zone and he runs some kind of mining operation, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, they have a strange, tense conversation, which is.
Yeah.
It seems like a strange, tense conversation, but it is also a very realistic fiction of running into somebody you recognize but don't know in a station.
Yeah.
Like if I ran into somebody, it's the equivalent of running into somebody you went to school with in a station 6 years later.
Yeah.
And you both recognize each other. So you both have to stop for a conversation, but you don't know each other well enough.
If Miles was like me and he sometimes just pretended not to see the person, his voice would never have been recorded.
The problem is that he's Irish, so he can't.
Damn it, Miles.
It's not how the Irish. It's not how Miles. Union man Edward O'Brien looks either.
And before we can see the beautiful moment between Miles and Keiko realized, the Cardassians are interrupting us.
Yeah.
Do they immediately say they're going to arrest him, or they just sort of demand him to let them on the ship?
No, they demand to let them on the ship, and then they arrest him.
Yeah.
They have like some equivalent of like the PACE codes. Like they say, you're under arrest, you have the right to remain silent. And apparently that's the last right he ever has. And also they don't honor it later on.
No. I think the running theme of this episode is the Cardassian justice system is fucked.
Well, the Cardassian justice system is designed to do one thing, which is let everybody know that only the guilty go to prison and they die.
Yeah. And I'll get into this a bit later on, but I think there's kind of an almost interesting perspective here.
Ah, the classic.
Yeah. The Star Trek original.
You almost did something, but you failed.
You didn't though.
So do we then go to Cardassia Prime?
Yeah, we go to Cardassia Prime and we watch a guy on a big screen talk about how important children's futures are.
Yeah, we get the little setup there of this is what at least the cities on Cardassia Prime are like.
That's Cardassia, you know, it's a Cardassian BBC, so you know, you get that one, and then it's Woman's Hour.
I mean, somehow the Cardassian BBC is just like the regular BBC, only somehow slightly less transphobic.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, sure, they broadcast executions live on television, but at least they don't give that they don't let Kathleen Stock talk.
Like Kathleen Stock drop on the podcast.
Stock drop. Oh god. Despair. Anyway, this is an anti-Kathleen Stock podcast. I don't know how you could
actually on critical support.
I'm critical. I don't know how you can still listen to this podcast and be a TERF, but if you are, leave.
Yes, please.
So absolutely. Come back. Take a long walk off a short pier and stay there. Back to Cardassians.
Yeah.
So
then we get O'Brien's interrogation.
They're immediately demanding a confession, which is a.
Yeah, and they rip his clothes off with a shame, but I liked his blue shirt, the weird Babylon 5 flap.
Yeah, it's very, this is how people dress in the future.
Yeah.
This is more evidence of the copyright theft, okay?
Yeah. And they extract his tooth, so they stab his head. It's pretty fucking miserable.
Yeah, and we get the little mention that the Cardassian like civil registry system involves giving the state one of your molars.
Yeah.
Which, ew.
Seems so unnecessary.
I don't think that's how dental records work.
Maybe they do in the Cardassians.
I may be going out on a limb here, but I think you're supposed to have like a print of your entire jaw.
Is it a print? I thought they were getting like
I think
the
it's a DNA. I think it's a DNA. It's just that it's always a molar, because also then they can tell if you're like not a Cardassian citizen because you have your molar.
This is going to come back.
Yeah, you don't need the full tooth now though, so why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a baby molar. It's not like big molars.
I mean, you could also kind of see it as like a subliminal control thing that people feel the missing tooth in the back of their mouth and remember whose property they are.
No, God.
So something yeah, like we come back to DS9 where everything's kind of gone fucky, and you know, it's like, you know, the Starfleet's on the alert. Fun fact: the reason they met is Enterprise, Potemkin, and Voldemir is that this was the first episode of DS9 to come out after the last episode of TNG.
Ah,
so that's when they were like, that's why the Enterprise was on alert, you know, in case a war broke out over this, which shouldn't make jokes about.
Yeah, this is an opportune time.
Opportune time
to be podcasting.
To discuss what's a time to podcast about a war scare. Anyway, glory to Ukraine.
And then we get to meet Macbar. Is that her name?
Macbar? We meet Macbar, yeah. She's
the judge, yeah.
You have to choose the best girl boss, Macbar or Admiral Sati. Go. You have to choose one.
Macbar had better hair.
Wow, I feel like Sati had a better dress, but like, you know, let's get really into like the appearances. Let's get sexist with it. Who is the hottest?
You know, Olivia, you're the only person who can get away with this.
So as going. A feminist, I refuse to participate in this.
As an Englishman, I'm going to make someone else do the work. Yeah, and everybody's really deliberately officious, like, about what he's done. It's like, you can tell him. You're going to execute him. Just tell him.
Yeah, it seems strange that they wouldn't even say the charge. I don't even see how that benefits them as a weird fascist organization. You're going to kill him anyway. May as well.
Yeah.
And we have this bit with a Cardassian judge called DS9. It's like, we have him. We're going to execute him. And Keiko's like, what are the charges? And the lawyer's like, oh, you sweet summer child, Mrs. O'Brien. There is no court case. We decide the charge, decide the sentence, then we have the trial.
Yeah, and I think this is the part that really annoyed me the first time, because the point of having a show trial is to convince people that your justice system is fair even when it isn't.
Exactly. This is just theatre.
The thing is, I think this isn't a show trial. A show trial for the Cardassian system would be a trial as we understand. It would be, or something like that, because the whole point of the Cardassian system is that no one has to be proved guilty. If you have been arrested, you are therefore guilty.
That's proof enough, yeah.
That's proof enough. So the whole point of the justice system is that the state has arrested you and decided what you've done. The trial is to prove how great the state is.
The trial is for the kids. Think of the children.
The children.
Are you thinking of the children?
And the public executioners I'll get to watch in the after-school show.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it's a very clever piece of world building because it's both Kafka-esque and fits with everything we know about Cardassians, just simply not having a system, a very alien system of moral ethics.
It's a smidge above the Federation system. They have.
What is
if
the
you're
Federation
an admiral, you can basically do what Macbar's done. You'll be fine.
I feel like from what I've seen of the Federation, it seems to be, like most, I think, American television in general, it tends to be very, like, the only fair legal system is, like, the common law adversarial one.
And the American legal system
sucks.
Really,
we must, because Star Trek is set in, you know, I'm just going to say it, because Star Trek is set within a military organization, we mostly just see hearings and court-martials rather than actual trials.
Yeah, we see military justice, which is, as everyone who knows anything about military justice knows, is professionally a shit show.
Yeah, yeah. It's two things that really kind of aren't meant to go together.
Yeah. I don't think we see it. The single time we see a civilian... No, we never see a civilian trial in Star Trek.
No. Not even with the great Samuel T. Coghlan.
That's the closest thing to a civilian trial.
This is why we need to read the book, though.
Samuel T. Coghlan, Attorney at Law. We're going to do a live reading. I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should do a live reading where I read the narrative and Olivia reads all the dialogue.
Dom and I attempted to do a live reading on Spaces, and Patrick just bullied us the entire time. So
I think we'll do it as Patreon content.
You were robbed of that art, people.
I think that's what we should do as Patreon content. Olivia and me will read Samuel T. Coghlan, Attorney at Law, one chapter at a time.
Amazing. I think we can get away with it with our accents. Like, the Americans will just think we sound cool anyway.
But so what next? Then, so we get Odo being useful.
This is how I took it. And I know I'm biased.
For once, being a collaborator actually helps us.
He's like, hey, no, I was a fascist too. Let me back in.
I mean, I think back in's the wrong word, but it's still very much like, I was a collaborator, let me help. And everyone's just kind of like,
sure.
So proud.
This one time,
you will. I mean, say what you want about collaborating, it's pretty clear he thinks the Cardassian justice is bullshit.
Okay.
Like, he spends the whole trial.
Those three guys?
Yeah, he did kill those three guys. But he does spend the whole trial going, Your Honor, you're full of shit.
That's you've never seen in your life. The bar is too low for the gelatin Jezebel.
kind of interesting because we can see that in the Cardassian justice system, the defendant gets two different counsels.
He has a legal counsel and a moral counsel.
Yeah. And the moral counsel is the only one who gets to address the court for some reason.
Got to keep that propaganda in line.
I feel like a lot of the Nesta feels like a thing that predates the time when the Cardassian justice system was a legal system.
Do they ever have one? How do we know?
I mean, this is when we come back to the nebulous question of how old the Central Command is. Because in some episodes, it's implied that Central Command is only like 50 years old, 60, 70 years old.
Yeah, that it started like just before they invaded Bajor.
Yeah. Did they ever care about the rule of law? They could have just still been shit.
It's still, there's an implication that there was a time when the Cardassians were like a functioning pluralist democracy.
Right.
That's what the, because there's reference to the Tarpa Council having had power at some point.
Good for them.
So, yeah, good for them.
So, I still really like to know what the Tarpa Council is and how it works.
I suspect it's like the Bundestag, but shit.
I mean,
or the Russian Duma, right?
Yeah.
Because they put it in charge for a bit and the Klingons immediately invade, which,
nice.
I know it was like changing interference, but it still sucked.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Odo gets to go and misses O'Brien. And I love the bit with Sisko's like, if any harm happens to him, there'll be consequences. And if you think that's a threat, that's because it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, because we love Sisko.
Who doesn't love Sisko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Fun fact, for some reason, I decided to briefly look at the German dub that Netflix has.
The German dub of Sisko of DS9.
Yes. And fun fact, Sisko's voice is about an octave higher in the German version.
Oh no.
We're going to have to listen to that at some point. So,
So then do we then get the trial itself?
No, we meet his
We meet the king.
we meet Kovacs, his defense.
Ah, yes.
Kovacs, the most useless legal representative ever, or representative in general ever.
I mean, Kovacs' job, he's a professional confession writer.
Yeah.
He's just interested in the spectacle of people like admitting their guilt.
Yeah, and I think this is like the speech he gives to O'Brien is the part where it kind of starts to become interesting, because we see, like as John's been saying, we get to see a little bit of the moral underpinning behind the Cardassian justice system, and it's actually very similar to confusion theories about law and justice. Because it's the goal of it is to ensure that society functions harmoniously, and the way you do that is by essentially reminding the common people of their place.
Yeah, if you are caught, you will be found guilty, and you will know what you are guilty for, and you will suffer the consequences of it.
Yeah, and it's still kind of
technically a loss to him, because he does end up, like, O'Brien asks him, have you ever won a case? And it's like, oh, winning isn't everything.
I mean, so, this is interesting, right? Because it implies that that O'Brien and the council still somehow have the same idea of what winning a case means.
Exactly.
Which implies that to the count, there is an idea in the Cardassian system core that you could be found not guilty.
And that somehow it is the lawyer's job to get the defendant off.
Yeah.
Is that the only extent to which it's a show trial?
Or like maybe to some extent this is a universal translator thing. that the Universal Translator somehow understands what O'Brien means by winning a case and then translates
and converts
the
it into something okay. else. No, because we know
the Universal... writers aren't thinking this. You know what? They're absolutely
no. They were
yeah,
very
yeah,
much...
yeah. No,
they
obviously
were...
not.
They were aiming at the line "winning isn't everything," which you know what? Good for them. It's a good line.
I refuse Fair to enough, give them yeah. anything.
But I do like that the whole thing where COVID is trying to get O'Brien to understand that it's not really about it. It's that the people need
Did
to
Did you call him COVID?
I call him Kovat.
I heard COVID. I just thought it was my own personal trauma.
Kovat's 19.
I do like the world building because it's very much a man who has a place in the system and is perfectly happy to keep doing it.
Yeah. Anti-Samuel. We love him.
Samuel T. Listen. So, yeah, we go back to DS9. It turns out that Miles is kind of may or may not have been stolen a bunch of warheads. And Gillian, professional voice of reason, is just kind of like, have you guys all gone mental?
Well, I guess it's season two. Kira seems to really be anti Miles at this point. I don't remember if this is just how she was. She was a very angry gal early on.
Yeah. She still has a little bit of the resistance fighter in her.
Yeah.
But it feels very much that DS9 thing where some episodes, Odo is like incredibly anti-Cardassian, and other ones he's here going, you know, oh, the Cardassian Lord or the system is better. And like characters' opinions on things change really radically because they just need people to have certain opinions.
Yeah.
Which.
Kind of the, this never would have happened under Franco kind of Odo.
Yeah. Marshal Pratam would never have stood for this piss. So yeah, then...
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of worth mentioning here, right, that we get it set up, like, beginning with his conversation with Boone, and sort of on through the episode, that O'Brien fought the Cardassians very actively and is still kind of hated by them.
Well, this has always been well known because Miles O'Brien's first big character moment, he had his two first big character moments on TNG. He was married to Kiko on Data's Day, good episode. And then in The Wounded, his former captain, Benjamin Maxwell, who commanded the Rutledge, tries to start another war with the Cardassians. And we get a great line where Miles says to a Cardassian officer, you know, I don't hate you, Cardassian. I hate you because of what I became. I hate what I became, who I am because of you. The Wounded is the best, is one of the best episodes of TNG. Yeah, so Odo arrives on Cardassian and Miles, like, are you here to get me out? And Odo's like, no, by the way, are you a terrorist? And then when Miles is like, who the fuck do you think I am?
Right,
I was like, it's okay, I didn't think you were a terrorist, but Miles isn't even particularly pleased by the terror.
Yeah, he's having a rough time. He was supposed to be relaxing wherever the hell he was going. His prison outfit is kind of fire, though. And I know he says, I don't want Keiko to see me like that, but honestly, Miles, it might help. Great. And we still don't know the charge, which is great.
And then Odo is like, well, we probably think...
No, we don't, do we?
No, we don't. But Odo sort of infers that it's because you've been stealing warheads. And Miles is like, well, fuck off. No, I have. And then we find that...
Good guy speech. He is
a good
guy.
Which obviously opens the question, how do the Cardassians know something was stolen from Deep Space Nine? And keep that question in the back of your head, dear listener.
Well, presumably you've watched the episode before you've listened to this, so... I have great admiration for the people who dive into this before watching the episode. You're insane. unless if you can't remember it, do you just sort of go, I have no idea what to talk, because we don't follow these things coherently ever.
No.
We could be creating a vision of the episode for them. This is why I say it racks up bad karma for us. Don't watch the show.
Imprisoned in the Star Trek of the real.
And they want Keiko to testify, which is just great. I love just getting into how unhinged the system is. That is kind of fun, actually.
I love the emphasis what kind of basis is. We literally have kids. There are kids in the viewing gallery.
Yeah.
Like little It's kind of funny.
Like on a school trip to get traumatized and see someone executed? Is that what's going on there?
I think... well, my favorite part of the trial, I think, is one that comes later on. So let's put a pin in that. But yeah, so obviously the entire thing is just a shit show beginning to end.
Yeah. And,
I think it's kind of... like, the thing I think that undercuts this episode is that it's kind of slightly too obvious how much of a shit show the trial is.
Yeah. It's like, surely people have questioned... it's like, either Cardassian culture is so hegemonic that no one's ever questioned this before.
Which, given that the Central Command gets overthrown about a season, or maybe two seasons after this, I don't know, man.
Yeah. And then I do like when Odo's yelling at her and the judge says, if you held a contempt of court, there'll be consequences. And Odo just goes, I have no teeth to offer you.
Yes.
We do not have to hand it to Odo, but that was a badass one.
Yeah. I mean, about...
he doesn't have any teeth yet.
Yes. I mean, about 5 minutes into this, she says, this is the longest trial in the history of Cardassia. Really, really presses upon the fact that, did no one ever think, hey, our legal system's kind of quick, a little too quick?
It's 2 days, it's on the second day of the trial. I think it's like, maybe that's the point, that you can just try people like that.
Yeah, I mean, to get back to the confusion analogy, of course, modern day Japan has a conviction rate of something like 99%.
That seems concerningly high.
Yeah, it's higher than China.
Oh,
and this is because like they kind of think similarly about the point of trials, and the police basically never bring charges against anyone unless they're 100% sure they can get them convicted.
Yeah, I don't trust that.
And they do, and they use very similar justifications to the ones we've heard the Cardassians use here, that this is how we ensure that our society is safe.
And it's... the trial is kind of whack, because it's basically like Golovec gets to stand up and go...
Yeah, this is my favorite part.
Suck?
This is my favorite part, where the judge asks him, do you have proof? He says, yes. What is that proof? Or can you tell the court what that proof is? No. Okay, then. And then the trial continues.
Does he also reliable like, sources or something?
Reliable sources that cannot be revealed for national security.
That's obviously extremely terrible, and I'm glad no real life Western democracy does things like that.
Anyway, so we go back on DS9, however, they've interviewed Boone, who's like, I've done nothing wrong. And they're like, yeah, you're in, lucky, fuck off. And then Julia's pottering about in the dark, and this guy comes up behind him and goes, he's not in the marquee, leave us alone. And it's like, I wish that had just been Garrick. I wish it should have been Garrick.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit too helpful and ultimately counterintuitive for the marquee to say, well, we don't know that guy. That's insanely suspicious.
I guess it's on their... actually, no, it is in their interest, because if the Federation believes the Marquis dobbed in a Starfleet officer, they're going to go after the Marquis.
Yeah, I can kind of see why they...
especially if they believe the Federation dobbed in a Starfleet officer and then stole a bunch of warheads. They're going to dob in the Marquis. It's very much in their interest.
They don't want the beef. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we then, I'm still on the longest trial line. It's been 2 days. And then Boone is brought into like the infirmary, and Sisko's like, what was the last time you spoke to your parents? 8 years? It's like, that's not illegal, we didn't get along. And he's like, well, your parents say you got along, why'd you leave your wife? He's like, fuck off. And then Julia's like, yeah, I'm not buying it, can we have a look at your teeth? And he tries to run away.
Wait, so what actually happened here? Is this a random Cardassian spy that was...
I think this is the same thing as in The Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah.
It's the same as, what do you call it? It's the same deep cover agent shit.
So it's quite I guess they'll find someone loyal enough to do that. It's quite the commitment.
Yeah, well, it's heavily implied throughout all of Star Trek that people just do this all the time. I mean, make of that what you will.
You could become any alien you wanted to be. Everyone pick an alien, go, you have to.
Andorian, next.
I actually was going to say Andorian as well.
Max.
I feel like that's one of the tougher ones.
I wonder.
Just in terms of the surgical alteration.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad.
I'm sure it's
a bit of blue paint in the veins.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I don't know. If they turned me into an Elorian, would I still live 800 years? Like, could they do that?
I don't think so.
Do Andorians live that long? How long do Andorians live?
No.
Not very
long. No, like the Whoopi Goldberg species.
Yeah, so basically he tries to run away, which... stupid idea, because I just pin him to a bed, look at his teeth.
Yeah.
And then we get this bit where Miles has to come up to the stand and like Kovac's trying to get Odo to be like, get him to admit he did everything and see the enlightenment of the Cardassian system.
This is another fun thing, is that the Cardassian legal system requires you to self-incriminate.
Yeah, and like I love the bit where he's like,
Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, I guess I have to do it. And he's like, Mr. O'Brien, were you abused by your parents?
Yeah.
Like, Miles just sort of looked at him like,
have you stopped beating your wife?
Has your wife started beating you?
Oh, yeah. Hashtag feminism.
Yeah, and then he's like, I love that Cummins has got two things. And then he's like, have you got anything? Are you going to admit to it? And Miles just goes, no. I can't help, I'm not a criminal. I can't help you guys. Sorry.
And then we proceed to the least impactful ending of any Star Trek episode.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because basically...
as mentioned, they just realized, oh shit, we're 40 minutes in. We have to wrap this up.
Because the judge basically goes, you see, you went to war with Cardassians. You don't know how many you killed. Therefore, you're guilty. And as she's about to pass sentence, Sisko walks in with a catch of Cardassian with food. And she just sort of goes,
never mind.
Anyway, we're full of so much compassion that we are going to let you release you into the custody of the Federation. I like to imagine that at this point, she has an earpiece in the whole time, and like as she's about to pass sentence, the person with Central Command just yells, shit!
No!
Shit. And it's like, she can just hear an argument in the background as all the generals like try to figure out what to do before somebody goes, let him go!
Bought the entire plan.
Yeah.
And like Kova's like, what's happened? And Odo's like, you won. He goes, they'll kill me.
You know what, dude? You're probably fine.
He was one year away from the time.
1 year away from retirement.
Of course he was.
They're always 1 year away from retirement.
They'll take away your pension, but you'll live. It's fine.
Yeah, but on Cardassia, your pension is your teeth and probably your face. they just take your face. And so it turns out that the Cardassian plan was essentially, we're gonna use Boone. We Manchurian candidates swap. It's not even Manchurian candidates. They swapped Boone 8 years ago for a Cardassian agent. Killed the real Boone. And he's just been a deep cover agent for 8 years. And then I guess...
And apparently the end game of this was to get a non-commissioned officer charged for something, because obviously 8 years ago, they didn't know the Maquis was going to exist.
Presumably it was a long-term deep cover thing, and then they activated him and were like, we need you to incriminate a Federation officer so we can crush Federation colonies.
Yeah.
Which... sure...
such a vague plan. It makes it seem even more insane that some guy...
Well, actually, like...
presumably he is one of hundreds of people they have like this.
And also, by, like, foreign espionage, foreign policy decision standards, is a pretty average plan. Like, it's up there with, like, the CIA wanting to have radio-controlled cats.
I beg your
pardon. Or the British... or MI5 trying to put estrogen in Hitler's food. It's like...
What are these things you're telling me?
Or the rat bomb.
Well, sir, the operation was a success. We've successfully force-fanned Hitler.
God. What is this? They gave Hitler like soy milk and said, that's it, that'll do it.
That you joke.
I know. I mean, they did force fend the King of Spain in the 80s to stop him fucking around. That's the thing that happened.
It's kind of up there with like, what should we use the Natural History Museum for during wartime? We're going to use it to turn rats into bombs. That's right. We're going to take a rat all the way down to the inside, fill it full of high explosive. That'll teach
Jerry. Just thinking of the day-to-day rat. Bomb dog thing.
IRA bomb dogs.
Yes. If the dog is improperly coated, a directional blast sends it up to 1,000 feet in the air. So is that the episode?
Well, they send Miles on a holiday, which is entirely unclear whether he actually wants to go on a holiday.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't seem to have much choice.
Keiko wants him to.
I hate that they just don't let Miles enjoy spending time with his wife.
What do they do?
I hate this whole gag about whether or not Miles wants to be around his wife.
He praises her as like the best person in the world.
But they still do the whole ha 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 funny man who doesn't like his wife.
Oh yeah.
Classic, and they shouldn't.
Classic boomer joke. I hate my wife. Stuff. Mm. Yeah. Unfortunately, Miles O'Brien is now in the hands of the Federation justice system, which, as we've noted, is unproblematic.
I mean, all it will mean is that he will get saved at the last minute, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the problem with the Federation justice system isn't that it doesn't acquit enough people.
Yeah. The problem with the Federation justice system is that it goes around in circles.
Yeah.
So, trivia. This was an episode with a routine title, Dark, which sucked.
Sounds like some kind dark of like obscure tribunal. Music genre.
Dark Tribunal.
Yeah, which is sucks.
Like sort of like Dark Cabaret, but more industrial.
I mean, that sounds like some of the weird stories I wrote when I was like 10 or something. Like, it's a shit title.
I mean, I'm sure if you search Dark Tribunal on AO3, you'll get
some No, nobody do that. So,
please do not.
The original plot of this episode basically comes from a line in The Marquis Part 2 where Goldie Cat says, on Cardassia, the verdict is always known before the trial begins, and it's always the same. And they wrote a whole episode off that line.
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't sure if that was before or after. So, it's cool, before. I guess.
Yeah, because we know, I mean, the Marquis two-parter is where the Marquis get introduced, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So obviously we already know they exist by the time of this episode.
But yeah, this is also the first episode directed by Avery Brooks.
Which I guess is why there isn't that much Sisko in this episode.
Yeah, and he had lots of fun.
He's got a couple of scenes. And I mean, yeah, he's clearly enjoying himself.
Yeah. Colin. So the assistant director, B.C. Cameron, had a bit of difficulty working with Brooks because he didn't give anything away and he wouldn't share a lot of information. And it came to a head during one scene when Brooks called him aside in Quark's bar. And Cameron remembers, it was pitch black in there because we weren't shooting in there. It was dark and I went in and he said, I want to make sure I get what I need. And I said, it's kind of difficult sometimes because I come to you asking questions and then you act like you don't want to tell me things and or that I'm bothering you. And then he said, I guess you don't understand my sense of humor. And I said, to be honest with you, sir, I'm not sure you have one. And he kind of reared back his shoulders, turned around, the little half grin on his face and said, what is it you want to know? And I said, I'd like to know when you have a scene in mind to tell us what you want. Come with me, he said. Brooks proceeded to tell Cameron the precise camera moves and blocking he had in mind for a specific scene they were working on, instructions which Cameron extremely appreciated. So I just like that everybody's just terrified of Avery Brooks.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it, kind of.
Yeah, Avery, you should have been a bit more forthcoming. That seems frustrating.
Yeah, I feel like if Avery Brooks looked at me and went, what is it you want to know? I just assume I was going to die.
I would just quit.
Yeah. So Golovec was previously known to O'Brien, because O'Brien had contacted him for assistance in getting rid of Cardassian voles.
Voles. Okay.
I mean, I love the whole Star Trek thing of how do we make something sound alien? Just put an adjective in front of an Earth word.
Egosian textbooks.
Yeah.
You do what, Olivia?
Oh, no. Andorian lampshades.
It's a little like saying, you know, I was going to say, like, the joke, you know, I like German beer. But I do like German beer.
Yeah, that's German not the strangest beer, combination.
Like, it's like, it's so silly, but then it's like, you say something like, oh, I like Portuguese wine. Or, you know, I like American sports. And actually, it's like, no one says that. You get, it's not actually that silly. It just feels silly.
Yeah.
I like the little connection.
Yeah. So
I mean, you can always also kind of tell that they've actually done some world building work whenever there's a thing that isn't named that way. Like all the Bajoran foodstuffs actually have Bajoran names.
And who like remembers Hasperat. Those?
Hasperat, yeah.
Yamagstools.
Okay, that's an iconic one, sure.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the important trivia. Are we quitting? I'm not sure. I'm. That's the correct noise.
I mean, I clearly didn't the first time, so.
I think I can let them off. I've seen worse.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen DS9 in a while, so I was like, oh, the gang, even though they kind of hate each other and are unfamiliar with each other right now.
Yeah, I think it's Tripnips, though. Was the Cardassian legal system cursed? And out of 10. So, for those who don't know the Tripnip scale, it is a measure of the cursedness based off of the great Trip Tucker's incident with pregnancy, as detailed in the fourth episode of Enterprise ever made, Unexpected. At which point, about
you stand half an Emperor King.
About 30 minutes in the episode, he starts developing dimples on his wrists. And that's how we measure
as
how
you cursed, do, yes.
As you do. And that's how we measure how cursed our episodes are.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being sensible number of nipples, totally uncursed, and 10 being your arms are nipples. There is no arm, it is just the nipples.
Nipples all the way down.
Yes.
I'm going to defend their entire legal system on one fact. They're not stupid enough to use gavels. There's no point in gavels. Wait, what is it?
They have a big stone.
Was there a stone?
Yeah, there was a big stone.
You know what? 10. 10 triples. God damn it, you. Stupid lizard.
You see, the gavel makes sense when courtrooms are just full of people shouting like 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's 10
from Olivia.
I almost set them off for every single terrible, unjust case. Almost.
Yeah, I don't know. This wasn't quite as bad as I remembered it. So I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I was going to give it 3. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No.
I stand by my 10 because of the devastation.
So that's
ultimately, postmodernism teaches us that no scoring system can be impartial. So,
yeah, it's 5.3 is our triplet score. It's 5 nipples and a little bit of an extra.
The worst.
Whenever we get a non-round number, we have terrible time. But yeah, that was Tribunal. I mean,
0.3 nipples. Would that just be like a zit?
No,
you're not sure if it's acne or a nipple.
Yeah,
because I do think about it. Is it like semi-emerging from the skin, or is it just like a properly formed half? This is why I
mean. I'm so glad I was able to bring something to this podcast.
I must be free of the scale.
So while Olivia
the ontology of fractional nipples.
While Olivia contemplates fractional nipples, do you have anything to plug to our listeners, Max?
Well, I and aforementioned friend of the show, Margot, have a podcast where we where we read Shakespeare. We kind of update sporadically, but if you want to look that up, the name of it is Shaking the Spear.
I was on it. I talked about Richard the Third.
John was on the most recent episode.
I talked about Richard the Third. I didn't actually read
the
play.
We had a very good time.
I didn't read the play. I just watched the film. Not even the proper one.
Pull the episode for that.
I also have a podcast in Swedish where we talk about Nordic politics. I don't know how many of your viewers
John has
that would be a
suitable statistic.
Recommendation for, but in case any of you...
I mean, I can't speak Swedish, so don't look at me.
Yeah.
But you have the statistics. Do you have any recollection of us having any Swedes listening?
Oh,
don't have to get it up now.
No, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh no,
you're editing. It's your problem.
Okay,
come on, Anchor. Load.
Yeah, so I can tell you the name of the podcast while John frantically Googles. It is Bröda Folkens Pod, and I figure that's kind of a useful litmus test. If you can spell that, you may be among the people this recommendation is for.
1%. Of our listeners 1%. Are in Sweden, and of them, 27% are in Uppsala County.
Oh boy! Okay.
24% in Gotland. In Gotland.
Oh.
And, that's unexpected.
18% in Uppsala itself, and 12% in Stockholm.
I didn't know it was that specific with the details. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I can tell you, we have at least one listener in Halland County and Västerbotten County.
Okay.
I don't know where
that is. Shout out to you. I'm not going to try and say that name.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, it goes to anyone who can speak a Scandinavian language because we are, in theory, a multilingual podcast.
Wow. We have Russian listeners.
Oh, you do.
Nice.
I hope you guys are okay.
Yes, please. I guess that's my final plug for this is just support Ukraine, support the Russian anti-war movement.
Yeah, and if you
give
if you
to
are...
charity, hide a refugee if it becomes illegal, hide two of them.
Yeah, if you are a Russian conscript currently in Ukraine, yes, those trees are speaking Ukraine. Good luck. That's all I've got to say to you. Fuck, war is terrible. No one should die in war, but also if you are a Russian conscript in Ukraine, just shove your hands up. They won't hurt you.
And on that note,
legally, we cannot tell you to desert.
No, we can. Geneva Convention doesn't apply to civilians. We can say what we want.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, we're going to be hacked by tomorrow.
Yeah, I look forward to the DDoS attack.
Oh my god, did you know that the president of Ukraine is the Ukrainian voice of Paddington Bear?
What? How much has this guy done?
He's a comedian.
I saw him in a sitcom earlier.
Yeah, I mean,
Olivia, yeah. This is the equivalent of if this country was led by Al Murray.
He was on Dancing with the Stars as well.
Yeah, exactly. This is the equivalent of if this country was invaded by France and London was the defense of London was being led by Al Murray in a tank.
I need to tell the group chat.
I mean, it is.
We love Eastern Europe.
This is Eastern Europe is being defended by a centrist dad comedian.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
And as we know, this must mean we have to write. We must write Ben Winshaw in the Defense of the Realm Act. But yeah, I've been to round off after our good fun episode with Max. Thanks for coming. I've been John.
I just realized this is an audio medium, so nodding was maybe not
yeah,
the best
you nodded,
response to that, but thanks.
Okay. Max aggressively ignored us.
Yeah, I've just left at this point.
Anyway, until next time, folks, don't hold show trials.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Don't hold show trials. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.